gather here today, to learn these things, Father, to be strengthened, to be encouraged, and to be edified by your holy word. We are thankful, Father, for such men as Johnny Ramsey, for others that have been mentioned, and we thank you for Larry Lott, for his ability to preach your word, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would have open hearts and open minds and open ears, and be attentive to the things that are taught to us today. Father, it is a blessing where we are gathered together in your name to worship and to assemble. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your church. And we thank you, O Lord, for each and every blessing that is found in Christ Jesus. Keep us in your care, O Lord. Strengthen us each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
When?
Yes.
Where do I need to go? Somewhere?
Either place.
I get up here and I feel more official. Been kind of out of this thing for a little while. As Robert may know, I've been retired for a little while. I'm never going to give it up. But my wife and I have never been able to travel. So she's been to New York City with her girls last week or two. Yeah. And just before that, she and I went to Alaska. That's such a beautiful country. Almost as beautiful as it is down here in the Delta. My next trip down through here, Robert, will be my second one.
Oh, now. Good for that. Glad to have you here.
Is this the work you do?
Yes.
It does, sir. So I do appreciate the opportunity to be here, and there are a lot of things I need to say to address the topic that Robert said I need to talk about, and he said that's God's work for today's youth. Which would you say is the most difficult time of the human existence? Some people might say infancy, others might say the adolescent years, or mature adulthood. What about old age? I never have figured out that golden part about it yet, Robert. I'm still looking. Golden years. Still trying to find that. Maybe that depends upon where you are in life as to how you might answer that. But while many might suggest that one's sunset years are the hardest, my own judgment would be that the period designated as youth might be the most challenging. You see, youth is a frustrating time. It's that period when one is hardly old enough to be on his own, but yet he's feeling a little sense of independence, wants to try his wings. Young people are always trying to find some sense of identity. That's why they sometimes act and dress the way they do. They act a little weird. Dress a little weird, but then so did we. In our own day and time, and in our own way, we may have done that too. But God calls young people to do great things. But as a young person, this is what I always tell them. You need to check your heart first. Mm-hmm. before you set out to do things for God. The Apostle Paul founded almost all the churches we read about in the New Testament. You might say he was a church-building, disciple-making, evangelistic machine. And if you're a Christian today, you can give a big thanks for Paul's work. But he didn't do it alone. He had a particularly close friend and co-worker called Timothy, a young, kind of timid guy that Paul trained to help with his important work. You know, it's amazing that we still have a couple of letters remaining that Paul wrote to this young man. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 is a classic summary of the life that Paul wanted Timothy to live as he ministered to others. And here's what he said: don't ever let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example of the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Do young people want to serve God? Now, if they do, then these commands are for them, and that's what we as older need to impress. Let's take a close look at some of these things Paul said. Number one, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. God has no problem with young people serving Him, as long as they're mature and as long as they're godly. I think Ecclesiastes 4, verse 13, backs up this statement when it says, better is a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king who no longer knows how to take warning. So don't let age stop you, I say to young people. Don't let it stop you from doing great things for your Creator. Number one, set an example for the believers. You know, we need the sort of person today that someone will look at and say, I want to be like that guy or like that girl. We have to be politically correct anymore, Brother Robert. That's changed my way of preaching a lot. Now, there's some work, of course, that young people need to do in these areas. That includes your speech, conduct, love, faith, purity. Are you using the kind of words to wisely build up others, or you tear them down? Are you seeking to live a Christ-like life and align your actions with God's expectations? Are you humble, concerned for others, looking out for their best interests, even when it comes to the fact that it may cost you? Are you trusting deeply in the promises of God for your life, or are you trusting in money, success, or fame to make you happy? Is your life characterized by purity, or do you struggle to control your desires? These are areas where young people need to work. But I say to them, you can do it. Listen to what Paul is saying to Timothy. It doesn't matter about your age. What really matters is your heart and your actions. If a young person is seeking to serve God, then I say go for it. But when you do, make sure you are an example to others and that you're seeking to live for Christ and not for selfish ambition. And if you know in your heart that you've got some big things to do, ask God to help you with them. That's certainly not beyond our goal and our reach. God wants you to be certain things. He wants you to work hard on becoming more like Jesus. You know, the Scriptures represent youth as a time both of challenge and danger. Moses said that the imagination of a man's heart is only what?
Evil
from his youth. Genesis 8:21. Paul admonished Timothy to flee youthful lusts. 2 Timothy 2:22. And by way of contrast, the Creator also recognizes the value of youth to His divine cause. Youngsters have energy. They are daring. Their hearts are filled with visions of the future. Indeed, they can be a most valuable component in the service of God. Solomon, who wasted much of his life in folly, perhaps thought better of the matter in his declining days. He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come and the years drop by when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Then again, Paul would say to Timothy, let no man despise you because you're young, but be an example. And then he listed those things. You know, it strikes me that whereas our youth can be quite impetuous, sometimes a bit silly, they are nonetheless a wonderful source to the kingdom of heaven. The fact is, the Bible is replete with examples of how God has used young people in some of the most vital roles in the unfolding of his marvelous plan of redemption. Let me give you just a few examples. First, there's Joseph. I don't know where you would go any earlier in the Bible to think about somebody like that. Truly one of the sterling characters of the Old Testament. He was a favorite of his father, which incited, of course, the passionate envy of his brothers. Accordingly, these hateful siblings sold Joseph to a caravan of Ishmaelites who transported him down to Egypt, where, of course, the younger brother was brought up by an Egyptian officer named Potiphar. Most everyone knows during the course of his duties that Potiphar's evil wife cast longing eyes toward this young man. She attempted to seduce him, but he, with firm resolve, resisted making this statement, insisting, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Genesis 39:9. And one of the most stunning features of that account of this man's life is that Joseph was only about 17 years of age, according to Genesis 37:2. A young lad in a strange land, separated from his people and from his religious center, where all of the strength, of course, was with his family and his dad. But yet he remained faithful to his God. Now that is a thrilling story. Then there's Miriam. As the Hebrew people multiplied in the land of Egypt, they were perceived as a threat to the stability of that nation. So the order was given that Israelite male babies were to be thrown into the Nile. When Moses was born, his parents hid him for 3 months. Then they placed him in a small vessel fashioned from the papyrus plant, which of course they deposited by the river's edge, committing their precious little baby to the care of God. Now in the meantime, Moses' older sister, who is estimated at that time to be about 10 or 12, was posted some distance away, and she kept watch over her little baby brother. Finally, Miriam obtained Jochebed, Moses' own mother, as a nurse for the child. And if you can just imagine, oh, the ways of providence, the way God works. Now here's my point. The entire future of the Hebrew nation, the instrument to be employed by God for the bringing of the Savior to the world, was entrusted to a young girl. Now, does this say something about how God values our youth? Sure it does. Then think about David. Think of the story of Goliath. We don't even have to go into details about that because we all have heard it since we were children. But God was with this youth. This young man, David, who may have been in his early 20s at that particular time. Goliath was slain. The Philistine force was routed. Maybe the turning point in the history of God's will for man. Again, God invested in youth. And the cause of truth triumphed because of the young man. There's Josiah, the noblest king to reign in the territory of Judah. Scriptures say that there was no ruler of his caliber, neither before him nor after him, who sought the Lord with all their heart, as did he, 2 Kings 23. Now Josiah was but a boy of 8 when he came to the throne. At the age of 16, he began to seek Jehovah, and by the time he turned 20, he initiated a campaign to purge the whole southern kingdom of its idolatry, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Then there's also the weeping prophet Jeremiah, one of the more remarkable characters of the Old Testament. He sought so desperately to bring rebellious Judah back into conformity with the law of God. He began his ministry at about the age of 13. It's possible that his preaching career spanned some 60 years or more, suggesting that Jeremiah was probably in his late teens when he was called of the Lord to be his prophet to that wicked nation. God can use faith of our young people. Then there's Mary, of course. One can only imagine how this, how sweet this beloved Mary of Nazareth must have been, as evidence for the fact that of all the women of Israel, she was chosen to be the mother of our Lord. Now, in the Jewish culture, a girl was normally married by the age of 12 or 13. Prior to 13, she had to be betrothed by her family to a man, by her parents. Then at 13, she was of legal age and could have decided for herself, made her own choice. So it's entirely possible then that Mary gave birth to the Savior of the world when she was in her early teens. Does this not speak volumes about how God trusts spiritually minded young people? And then there's Timothy, of course. We've already alluded to him, was a friend of the Apostle Paul. No companion closer to the great apostle than this young friend. Even in his declining years, Paul asked for this young man to come to him quickly, or let him come soon. Give diligence to come, to be short, as 2 Timothy 4:9. There must have been something that Paul recognized in this young man. And it's something that we as older, and many times as church leaders, elders, deacons, preachers, whoever, must also recognize the potential of our young people. Many congregations of these days are blessed with a lot of young people. I visited around quite a bit before I finally got out of the pulpit and noticed that there seems to be an upswing in many of our congregations about young people. But a consideration of the examples that we just mentioned clearly show that young people, youngsters, properly trained, are capable of courageous faith and considerable usefulness in heaven's cause. God wants them there. Perhaps we do not realize how we influence our youngsters many times to serve the Lord. Do we often overlook their potential? Maybe so. Think about the case that we just mentioned, and also think of this. Some of the world's greatest accomplishments have been done by young men and young women. Alexander the Great became king before he was 30 years old. Some of the great works of Shelley, Byron, Keats, Chopin, Mozart, and all, they were composed when they were 13 or teenagers. Hitler and Mussolini built their power on the dedication and energy of young people. Now, much of the mission work of the church is being done by younger adults. And the church needs consecrated young people. Times are perilous, and our cause is the greatest that the world has ever known. The very hope of the human race lies in wise young people committed to high principles. Young people need the church, and they need Christ. You know, those who are indifferent, and there are many young people who seem to be indifferent today, those who are indifferent to the way of the Lord are simply inviting sorrow in their lives and in their souls. What Jesus says to the young and old alike, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I would suggest there's some things young people need to do. We need to encourage them in these areas. Number one, obey the gospel of Christ. When Robert and I were teenagers, we had all kinds of elders and other members and family members that were encouraging us along. I know I had an elder select me at 12, said, "Brother Larry, you're going to be a preacher." I never thought of anything else because I thought that's what it was intended for me to be. And so he encouraged me, got behind me, showed me how to lead songs and how to make talks and criticized me when I said the wrong things and gave me pointers to help improve. And I've tried to do that all through the years. And arrived at a point that I could help young people as well. Over the years, places where I've worked extensively in the communities with our young people, not just members of the church, but out there everywhere else. Worldly young people need godly examples as well. I've received all kinds of recognition for working in communities and so on, Chamber of Commerce, State Board of Education in Jackson, and so on. But it showed me and illustrated that young people need guidance many times. They need encouragement, just like I. Number two, young people need to keep themselves pure, just like Timothy says. It's a real challenge, I understand. Conquering your desires, making God's will yours, and so on. Number three, build a Christian personality. True greatness lies in spiritual things. That's the bottom line. We need to emphasize prayer, study, righteousness, things that will bless our young people. Number four, as young people, they need to lead others to Christ. Lead by example. Number five, get a good Christian education. Number six, prepare for a decent profession. You know, the New Testament strongly commands honest and honorable work. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12, that you study to be quiet, to do your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may lack nothing. Christian life is not that of a parasite. You know, it's one of industry and service to others. Number seven, build a Christian home. Of course, next to obey the gospel of Christ, the greatest favor you'll ever do yourself is to build a Christian home. And when you marry, marry a Christian. Number eight, prepare for Christian leadership, and that cannot start too early. Like I said, with me, it was at 12. One of my problems over the years, Brother Robert, is that we're not instructing and teaching our young men and women to be leaders like we should. We're somehow waiting till they get old enough. Well, you know, as the cradle goes, or as the home goes, so goes the world. We need to start teaching our children a little more. And we need classes that will teach our young men to be deacons and elders. Classes where they actually learn how to be, and they start forming those lifestyles and whatever necessary to bring that along. Number nine, encourage and help others. Everyone bears a burden. Every one of us has something to bear. We fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6, verse 2. And number 10, be faithful throughout life. Talking about regrets a moment ago, what we listen to, we won't have those regrets if we can learn to eliminate them as we go along the way. Truth of the matter is, there are many perils that will beset the pathway of our youth. Temptations and disappointments come to everyone. They came to the Lord. They'll also come to young people today. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. God calls us to life that man cannot destroy and to treasures that are eternal. That's the kind of life God calls us to. Are our young people merely ignored in many of our larger congregations as being kind of empty-headed, silly people who are unworthy of serious responsibility? We need to get away from that kind of thinking. But sadly, this may be the case sometimes. We should not overlook this valuable resource in the Master's cause. We must be on the lookout for and encourage these young people along the way, because God can use them mightily. At this point, in any kind of discussion like this, my thoughts always come to this. What must we do as a church, as a congregation, as elders, preachers, as adults? What's our role in all of this? You know, if we want our teenagers to turn out right, there's a possibility we may need to change some of the ways we do things today. Let me just give you a few examples. Now, Robert, do you remember Choctaw Bible Camp?
Yeah.
I worked there at Mayfield Christian Camp. I worked as a counselor over in Freed Harbor, their camp just outside of Henderson there. But as I became a young preacher and saw the need to include our young people, I wanted to get them to every possible conference, gathering, rally, whatever they were called back then. And I fell into the trap, Brother Robert, of some of our earlier preachers, of traveling 500 to 1,000 miles. I mean, we traveled to Dallas, Texas, Mobile, Alabama, Atlanta, Georgia. I'm talking about southern Mississippi, down in that part of the area when my girls were really growing up. I remember one in Mobile, Alabama. About time for the services to start, the featured speaker was announced, Everybody sat down and got quiet for that. The two doors in the back burst open. A guy in a black trench coat came running down the aisle, shooting two pistols. I'm talking about a youth rabbi. Jeff Walling was the featured speaker. Do you remember anything about that name? And I'm sliding down under my pew. I've got a bunch of kids that I'm here trying to influence for good. I don't know what's going on. Those that were not scared out of their britches, I guess it got their attention. Somebody, I mean, today we'd be locked up, put under the jail or something for doing stuff like that. Now I've heard of motorcycles running down the aisle and up on the stage. All of this stuff. What I figured out in a lot of us other older heads was that we were turning a lot of this into total entertainment for the young people.
Yeah.
Total entertainment.
Yeah.
So we just might need to change the way we do some of these things, like our youth ministry and a lot of our larger churches. We need to change back to the old way. I mean, it worked with me and Robert.
Couple.
You need to do something?
A couple of minutes.
Yeah. Okay, I've got about 28 minutes worth of material I cover here in 2 minutes.
That's it.
But if we want our teenagers to turn out right, then we've got to start out right in teaching them along the way. And I'm not against taking teenagers to an amusement park. I am against driving 500 miles to a youth conference so they can go to 5 different amusement parks while they're there. You know, that's the point. Let's take our teenagers out. Let's feed them pizza. And I'm not against pizza and Pepsi and volleyball. But if that's the only thing we emphasize, I'm against it. We need to go back to the Bible and speak where the Bible speaks. We need to open up that old black book. Cry aloud and spare not, says Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1. Our children's future depends on it, and so does the future of the church. Brethren, I want to close simply by saying, I am burdened for the church. In the days that lie ahead, I'm burdened for today's youth who must not only strive to live exemplary lives right now, but who will one day attempt to serve as faithful leaders within the body of Christ. I'm burdened because it's not getting any easier to live in this world. I'm burdened because young Christians today often fail to understand that God desires to have a close, intimate relationship with them right now. A relationship that can only begin when they obey the Scriptures. Despite the mixed signals and poor examples often set by those around us and sometimes by ourselves, God wants us to honor and obey Him. And to lead by example, old or young or whatever in between. The Word of God is not silent concerning the conduct of young people and their role in the church and in society. Young people today must seriously consider what God's Word has to say. All of us must consider, are we measuring up to what God wants us to be? Are we just following the crowd? Do we stand out with those who desire to be faithful? Or do we want to be noticed in some group or whatever? The ultimate issue of what God can do or of what God expects of us lies heavily on each individual. So my closing words then will be those of the Apostle Paul. Be thou an example.
Amen. Can the church say amen to the things we've heard here? Brother Beal, if you would lead us in a word of prayer.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this day. For this time, Father, that we have been able to look back to those great men that have gone on before us, that has taught us so much about you and their wisdom and through your wisdom, through your word. Thank you so much for loving us and caring for us that you gave us your Son to die upon the cross for our sins. But his life here on this earth was much more in that he taught us what we must know in order to please you.
Amen.
Help us to study your word. Help us to live it out in our lives. Help us to be faithful to you. And Father, we ask you to bless the church throughout the world. Thank you for Brother Larry that has come to us here this day and has opened our minds and, Father, the realization of how much our children mean to us. We realize that your Son taught us that we must become like little children, that we must grow. And things that you want us to do. Help us, Father, to encourage our children. Help us to teach them in such a way and be examples to them that they will want to be Christians in their life. Thank you so much for Brother Robert and his efforts and his School of Best Service. Thank you so much for those that support this effort.
Yes.
Father, we pray that much good can be done. Bless us now as we go through the rest of this day. We ask you to watch over and care for us. Father, forgive us for our sins. We have committed those things. Father, always love us like you do. Give us courage. Give us the wisdom and give us the knowledge. Father, help us to seek your word. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But I think you can see a number